What night is it? It's Halloween, right? Everybody having a good time? Good. I am Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. I have all 10 of my fingers, which is no small feat after carving pumpkins. Pleased to report that isn't it terrifying? You draw the face on the pumpkin, everything's good. That's what I did. I went home. You know, I did the prep over the weekend, but I carved the pumpkins before I went into the studio here to do a bit of show prep. And so I'm carving the pumpkins. The last thing I want is to be bleeding out when I'm on the air. So success. The kids are out trick-or-treating. I hope everybody's being safe. And with that, this weekend, right? Did you go to a party? Did you wear a costume? Are you wearing a costume tonight? Here's a question I have for you. Did you wear the costume that you wanted to? Not, but think about it. You know, when you were thinking about the costume that you really wanted to put on, was there any part of you that self-edited that said, you know, I really want to wear X, but I'm not sure I can? If you did, you're not alone. And we got to take the story back a full year. If you remember the big conflagration at Yale, because, you know, we always talk about this. I know if you followed the program, you know that college campuses are ground zero for every bit of lunacy and idiocy there is in the world. And it's no different with this nonsense, you know, politically correct policing of Halloween costumes. And about it was last Halloween that Yale, right, one of the best schools in the country, right, pretty tough to get in. They come out with this email that they send. They send out an email blast to all students. And in it, they're telling students what a lot of other colleges have been telling students for a while, which is, you know, hey, listen, you know, stay away from cultural appropriation where, you know, a member of one race would wear a costume that depicts, perhaps unflatteringly, or in any way, shape, or form, depicts somebody from another race. And they said, stay away from that, stay away. I mean, they just put this email together. And that's not really the point of the story. It was that there was this professor and her husband, two professors at Yale, who wrote, and it's a long email. I mean, they wrote this long email to their students. You know, the school's divided up into different residential colleges. And one of these residential colleges, these two, this man and wife, are, you know, the residential advisors of. And so they write, they send out their a sort of follow-up email to their kids, right, the students that they're responsible for. And the woman writes it. Her name is Erica Christakis, and she's an associate master there at Silliman College, and just very, very intelligent woman. I tell you, this email is fantastic, and she says a few things in it. She goes, you know, I don't want to be in the business of encouraging the exercise of imagination or constraining it, you know, she encourages everybody to use good judgment, but just don't, you know. And then she puts this line in there, and this was the line. This is where the trigger warning comes in, right? Remember the trigger warning? Well, there wasn't a trigger warning because there's this line about her husband. Nicholas says, this is her quote, if you don't like a costume someone is wearing, look away or tell them you're offended. Hey, talk to each other. Free speech and the ability to tolerate offense are the hallmarks of a free and open society. Amen. Right? I mean, that's it. If you don't like, I always tell this to my kids, you know, if you're at school, oh man, Johnny hurt my feelings. Look, hey, talk to Johnny about it. Deal with it. Don't come crying to me. You know, the world's filled with mean and nasty things that are going to hurt your feelings. So just learn to deal with it in the third grade. You know, don't be dealing with it when you're, an undergraduate at Yale. Because right after, I mean, you would think that they basically put a burning cross in front of the college. I mean, the reaction, what you think I'm exaggerating? I have a tape, and we'll play just a little snippet of a hysterical reaction from one of the, I mean, about 1,000 students showed up. 1,000 students and faculty show up in this just and voiced their concerns. But at this particular rally, I don't know, a couple hundred showed up and they've got an open mic. And the guy, the husband of the author of this letter, is up there defending them. I think fairly valiantly. Now, you be the judge if this gal sounds like a rational human being to you. Roll the tape.
Be quiet! It's your job to create a place of comfort and home for the students that live in Silliman. By sending out that email, that goes against your position as master. Do you understand that?
No, I don't agree with that.
Then why the f*** did you accept the position?
I have a different vision.
You should step down! If that is what you think about being a master, you should step down! It is not about creating an intellectual space! It's about creating a home here! You are not doing that! You are disgusting!
You're disgusting. She says that to him. A punk? I don't care. 19, 20. Doesn't matter to me. Here's a know-nothing, snot-nosed kid who deserves to get a smack upside the head. Probably needed one from her parents growing up. Or two or three. And this is how she's talking to a PhD? To some? I don't. Look. I went to college. I hated it. You know, I hated all of, I mean, most of it, okay? I get it. Even if you vehemently oppose a professor, in what world do you yell at them? You shout them down. Expletives. And what school, what environment is that okay? So if you just tuned in, we're talking about Halloween, because it's Halloween. Talking about costumes and talking about the world has just gone crazy over just these prohibitions on what we're not, you know, we're not allowed to wear. And it started with colleges and we're talking about Yale. So what happened? So that you heard the crazy chick yelling at a professor, which I find on some level just wrong, obviously. And then, okay, well, by the way, you know, this is all in reaction to an email that this guy and his wife send that just says, hey, if you're offended by a costume that somebody's wearing, you know what? Look away. Okay? It wasn't anything any more offensive than that. And these kids all went crazy. So, where to with this? All right. It all happens. You think you'd go away? No! Erica, she ends up getting, they get put on administrative leave and she ends up quitting the school. You know, professors, and this is the thing, professors, faculty, even Yale law school, which is, I went to law school. The way it works is you deal with radical concepts, you deal with difficult questions, and you have to throw these issues out there. You've got to deal with them. And they've got, even Yale law professors contacted her personally and her husband and said, hey, it's too risky for us to speak our minds. Just, we can't do it. Now, so anyway, her classes all get canceled around, what is it, that same year, about December, and she's fired or quit some in May. And she wrote 3 days ago. So this is right in time for Halloween, right in time for the big anniversary of this. She writes a terrific op-ed piece. And, you know, in this op-ed piece, I'll say, you know, there are a couple of standout lines that really sum up what I believe so fervently. She writes, students are denied an essential condition for intellectual and moral growth, the ability to practice and sometimes fail at the art of thinking aloud. That's a really nice way of saying, sometimes you've got to put your foot in your mouth in order to learn what that tastes like. You cannot just grow a child into a young adult in a world that is free from any conflict, intellectual or otherwise. You can't do it. And another thing she wrote, growing number of students report avoiding controversial topics. And she named some of them. She says they are avoiding them for fear of uttering unacceptable language or otherwise stepping out of line. And, you know, this is why, you know what, this is why there are some unusual bedfellows in opposition to this. Old school, I'm not just talking about the alt-right. Of course, on one hand, you've got the alt-right. the people that are fighting the political correctness battle in general. But on the other hand now, you've got a lot of old liberals, you know, people that grew up in the 60s. And you used to be able to talk about crazy, outrageous things in colleges. I mean, that's where they came of age. That's where their minds were opened up, for better or for worse. But at least they were in a world, ironically, back then, the state run by, back when colleges were still run by conservatives, in that world, liberals in the 60s were able to flourish, were able to talk, were able to argue and discuss things and challenge authority. And then there's the worst part of this. You know, she writes in the story, she says, you know, I don't know. She goes, by the way, her background is in childhood psychology, which I think is fascinating. And she says, you know, and she talked about some, I should know this as a dad, but there's some black Disney princess, right? And she says, you know, I guess, you know, there's a discussion about when is it not okay for a white girl to play this black Disney princess? You know, when is it not okay? Is it not okay if she wants to do it at 8? Is it not okay if she wants to do it at 18? Should those ages even matter? You know, do we take into account the spirit in which she wants to wear that costume? And it brings me to this point where I'm bring it back to something that happened here on this program. On Wednesday, I waded into some very challenging and difficult territory thematically. I talked about Islam. And you know what? I'll tell you, folks, this is important. Because the strangest reaction, and perhaps one of the most disappointing, was someone told me, they said, you're a white guy in Orange County. You can't talk about this stuff. And that, this, I'll tell you, this is where we as a country need to do a little bit of soul searching. We as a society need to do a little bit of soul searching. This is not a Republican or Democrat issue. This is not a conservative, you know, or liberal issue. This is a fundamental America issue. Because, for example, look at these Yale professors. I mean, they were run out of town. They were run out of town. I mean, the school, nobody stood up for them. And who were they run out of town by? Well, here it says in the articles I read, about 1,000 students and faculty. You know, there's about 12,000, a little over 12,000 students at Yale. That's a minority. And that's what it is. Political correctness is a tyranny of the minority. You can't just, I mean, and that's where this whole question of identity comes into play. Well, you can't be a black princess if you're not a woman and black. You can't do that. You can't talk about that issue because you're a white guy in Orange County. It's absurd. And it's absurd because our identity should not disqualify the subject matter that we wade into. We're all Americans. We're all part of this democracy. The democracy functions, the republic functions on the basis that we're able to express ourselves freely. Challenge me. Challenge my opinion. Challenge opinions of others on the substance of the opinion. Disagree. Let them fail in the marketplace of ideas. And it's so frustrating, isn't it? I mean, there's a reason why the Bill of Rights starts with freedom of speech. I talk about it all the time on the program. I say, look, Europe's different. Europe is. They don't have the sole freedom of speech concept. In fact, you know, they have a hate speech concept that trumps everything. So you really can't say things in Europe. And it shocks Americans when they go over there. Oh my gosh, I can get arrested for saying that. Crazy. But we have this censure. First Amendment, really, I mean, it's only about government. It limits what government can do to you. So we get censored in other ways. We get censored. Colleges censor students at the most critical times in their life. And media, this is the great lie, right? Media is supposed to be free. It's not. There's so much dollars and cents involved. And sponsors, I hate to tell you, they vote with their cash. And so they pick, it's just a peek behind the curtain. I'm just telling you. So they vote with their dollars. And they're scared. And they're scared of controversy. And it silences speech. So I'm going to, you know, normally I talk about Sweet James later. I'm going to, but I'll tell you this. You know, every person on the air should be as lucky as me to have a sponsor like Sweet James. Because this is a guy who may not agree with the word that comes out of my mouth, but loves this country and was so supportive after Wednesday's show. Just so supportive. And that is a hallmark of character. You want an attorney with character? There's a guy. Okay? But I'm telling you, the truth matters. And I want to hear from you. What do you think? 1-800-222-5222. 1-800-222-5222. Call me. Tell me I'm a big fat idiot. I don't care. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Don't count the Donald out. Everybody that's done it has ended up with egg on their face.
Operators are standing by.
Hello?
At 800-222-5222.
Go ahead. Say it.
790 KBC.
Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Your favorite white guy in Orange County. Live and on Halloween. Yes, who's having fun? Robbie's not here today. I just want to let everybody know that we have a stand-in for him. We have a Texas Ranger. What is Walker? Texas Ranger. Very convincing, by the way. I love it. Okay, we're talking about all the things you can't do with your Halloween costume that's against, well, actually against the law. You know, Tufts University has a policy where they will refer, depending on how much you've outraged your fellow students, they'll actually refer matters to campus police for criminal investigation for a costume. And that is the state of our free speech and free expression. And of all places, at colleges where really, you know, you got to test those limits of, you got to learn, you ought to be able to express yourself and do something stupid and not get prosecuted for it, but have other students tell you, you're an idiot. That's dumb. So I don't know. All right. We've got callers. Brittany from Los Alamitos. Brittany, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Happy Halloween.
Oh, same to you.
I would say, what are you wearing? But I won't.
Yeah,
are you wearing a costume?
I'm wearing gym clothes. I didn't dress up.
Well, all right. So what do you think of all this?
Well, these are just my thoughts coming from my personal standpoint. I'm somebody who grew up in the South, who grew up around a lot of racism, mainly that came from white people. Mm-hmm. So I think when you see, like, the cultural appropriation in people's costumes, sometimes it's not meant to be flattering or just to be, you know, shown as dress up. It's meant to be mocking and demeaning. And that's most of what you see on college campuses. That being said, I don't think anybody should have to tell you that something is racist or offended to other people. But if that's what they're doing on the college campus is telling the students that they shouldn't be wearing those things and they should follow those guidelines.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. So let me ask you this. Let's say I'm thinking about my own college experience, and I mean, just because somebody got into a top school doesn't mean that they're very bright. Okay, I'm sure you saw that. So college students, and by the way, when they're adults, you know, at 18, I always say it's. I mean, especially I don't know. I mean, there's some people who are just idiots at 18. They haven't developed yet, so they do stupid things. And it's just like free speech when I'm talking about letting the idea fail in the marketplace of ideas. What I mean is, I'm not going to block somebody for saying something racist. I'm not going to make a hate speech law against that. I'd rather them stand on the street corner, say something that's vile and racist, and have people go, boo, that's horrible, you're an idiot, and like that. I mean, and that's more powerful than some rule and some law. So my question to you is, all right, so you saw some offensive costumes. Was everybody okay with it at the school? I mean, did nobody like bat an eye at it, or did people go up to somebody that was in an offensive costume and say that's horrible?
Most of the things I've seen are on social media, and I think when people have an outlet there, they don't think about the consequences, because racism, like in real life, the consequences are a lot different than what you see on social media. Like if you walked up to somebody with blackface on, like the consequences are going to be a lot different than somebody just saying boo on social media.
Yeah, you might get punched, right? I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean,
right.
So social media, by the way, social media amplifies all sorts of idiocy. I mean, that's what social media is, but I always defend social media and expressions on social media, because I think, you know, people got to get it out. And by the way, people get shut down on social media all the time. I don't advocate by Facebook or, but they get, you know, people put something up and then the comments, they're like, you're an idiot. You're dumb. Like I'm unfriending you. I'm unfollowing you. I mean, I guess the point being is, especially if it's on social media, if you didn't see it in real life and it was just on social media, how easy is it to just click close or unfollow? I mean, that's the solution, right? So I appreciate the call, Brittany. Thank you. But I think that there's all sorts of ways to deal with this in a very adult way. And it really is just like that Yale professor said. You don't like something, turn around, walk the other way, and ignore it. Okay, got other people holding. We'll be back after this. If you want to talk about it, 1-800-222-5222, 1-800-222-5222. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is.
790-790-790-790. KABC.
All right. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Happy Halloween! Yeah, this is the first time I'm missing trick-or-treating with my kids. Head right out of here after the show, but they're all pretty cute in their costumes. And I was at my kids' school today for their little they do a little parade. And I told my son's teacher, I go, is tomorrow the worst day in teaching or what? Right? Because that's the day that all the kids come back from, you know, gorging themselves on candy. And she goes, yes, it is. And that's why I got a substitute teacher. Smart lady. Okay. So, all right, we're talking about political correctness, free speech, and how it's killing Halloween. All these costumes you can't wear. And Dominic, are you there? Dominic?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you, my man?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. First things first, are you wearing a costume?
No, actually, I'm not. I'm just wearing my ugly face, so.
Oh, stop. I don't believe it. I've got a face made for radio, so I guess, you know, we'll put that.
Me too. That's why I'm okay. Calling. But anyway.
All right.
Hey, man.
What do you think of all this?
Well, you know what? I'm kind of halfway between the previous caller, Brittany, and in yourself. For one, I get it as far as, like, you know, the regulation and making sure that people don't step over the boundaries or whatever in her particular example on college campuses. But on the same token, I do believe that it's just like, it's almost like if a kid is out in the yard, you put a parameter around the play. you, there is a boundary by which that person can play. And to me, that analogy is the same as like a law. That's what the laws are for. So if you're out and if somebody has the poor, you know, judgment to wear something that's offensive or whatever, unless it incites something that breaks the law, then, you know, whatever. That's where I agree with you. Then, yeah, let the public opinion, you know, let somebody stand up on the soapbox and condemn them. But at the same token, our freedom of speech is every day, it seems like it's being chipped away and chipped away at. And it's done in such a systematic way that the general public, I really don't think, realizes it. To the point of where, just like you just said, you're in Orange County or whatever, if anybody were to tell you because of your demographic that you can't speak on a certain subject, well, what does that mean to freedom of speech?
Well, my point exactly. But let me tell you, like, I always come at problems from a parent point of view. And you, are you familiar with this term helicopter parent? Helicopter parents?
No, but I'm probably that because I'm a single father of an 11-year-old son. So I,
all right, okay. So I doubt it. I think you're way too reasonable. All right, so but let me tell you. So helicopter parents are parents who just hover over their kids like just right overhead, right?
I'm not that.
And now look. I mean, I would say my parents were really involved with me growing up, and protective to a point, but. But they also let me go out and play. You know, right. They let me climb a tree. They let me, you know, actually, I can't say they let me ride a bike because they literally wouldn't let me ride a bike. So that's, I got to check that off the list. Okay, but, you know, they let me climb a tree.
Right.
And the point being is, you know, you might fall. You might break a leg. You're probably going to live. And their perspective on parenting was, let me test those boundaries.
Right.
Let me, in fact, I'll tell you, my mom, she's such a battle axe. One time I was in Europe and there's this like poison ivy type plant and it's, you know, and it's everywhere. And she goes, it's, hey, that thing will really burn you. And I go, okay, good, mom. I trust you. I don't need to touch it. And then my mom pushed me into the plant because the point being, now the studio is going crazy. They think my mom, no, my mom's a great lady, but she wanted me to know what this felt like. Okay.
Right.
And so, there's more to this. Dominic, can you hang on through the break?
I need to
take a quick break and I want to come back to you because there's an important point here. Parents, you know, you've got to let your kid touch the thorn bush. You've got to let them get cuts and bruises and scrapes. And as a young adult, you have to let them push the boundaries of even common decency. You do. And if you don't do it, then you don't develop a sense for what you're supposed to do and not supposed to do. You have no sense for it. So, Dominic, hang on. I want to finish this call up with you. We'll be back after this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. The oil down the desert
way. This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
I mean, I'm telling you, if unshackled Donald Trump is anything like Django Unchained, he might just win this election.
Hello?
Who's calling?
You're calling this number, 800-222-5222.
And we are back this Halloween evening. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And we were just before the break talking to Dominic. Dominic, are you still there?
Yeah, man, I'm still here. Thank you.
All right, hey, thanks for holding on. So I was talking about the helicopter parent, you know, the parent that just is so on top of their kid that they never let them fail, that they never kind of allow the kid to get a scrape, a bump, a bruise, and how that translates then into this mentality that these colleges have where they want to create all these rules. I don't know, you described it as a fence, as parameters.
Sam, if I can just say something really quickly.
Go ahead, please.
You said just before you got off was so pertinent. I have a really quick example. I remember one day my wife at the time and I were at home and we had just had our son. He was probably like 2 or 3. And another friend of mine, he and his wife were both pediatricians, you know. And they were over our house and my wife was just – helicoptering around our son. You know, she didn't want him to touch this mm-hmm. for germs and this for germs. And then after about, like, 20 minutes of that, I'm looking around, and the pediatrician's kid is eating dirt. He's, like, gardening rocks. It's just
right.
Like the whole, and I'm like, what the hell? And they're like, oh, please. Because if he doesn't get a hold to it, if he doesn't get in touch with it, then that just saves on immunization. I mean, well, that's the type
yeah,
of thing they have to get exposure to that. And it's the
yep.
same kind of thing that you're talking about. It's just like you have to let them, you have to let it breathe. You have to let it marinate. You have to get out and let it happen. So as far as like with the free speech and coming back to what we were talking about, yeah, I totally agree. You have to let people realize the consequences of their words. And
if
then,
my kid, let me
day,
tell yeah, and not to interrupt, but if my kid is confronted by a racist or a homophobe or a
yeah.
whatever, you know, whatever
yeah.
ignorant person.
Yeah.
I don't want to silence that ignorant person. I want to teach my son how to deal with it internally, him himself, right? And how to deal with the situation in the moment. That to
Absolutely.
Me is a life successful person. Okay? So let me just, as an aside, because you sound like reasonable and life, you know, life aware. Are you frustrated by the whole political correctness movement?
I am to a certain extent. And just to piggyback on what I said earlier, once it gets to the point of where it infringes on someone's personal rights, their sense of self, and it infringes on their occupying the space that they're in. I mean, kids are going to be kids. People are going to say things. Life is not gravy. I mean, people are going to hurt your feelings. But when it crosses the line, that's what I believe laws are for. Just
yeah,
like
but
you just
I mean,
said.
but that's you know, laws, you know, like the laws of torts, right? I mean, it governs this, right? If you do something and commit an act that is
right.
harmful or offensive and damages another person, there's a law that protects that. But it's speech. Mere words are not enough, and the idea that mere words, you know, will hurt you and create harm is a relatively new concept, and it's used. It really is used. By these crusaders, these social justice warriors, they're called, to advance their agenda, which is to create some kind of odd, neutered society where nobody talks about anything controversial, where we don't, you know, invade anyone's space or hurt anyone's feelings. But consequently, we're creating a generation, very dangerous, a generation of people who are not challenged to think critically, who aren't challenged to, I don't know, to be hurt and know how to deal with that, and they're just completely ill prepared for life. So, you know, I appreciate. Go ahead, Dominic. What was that?
Well, no, I just wanted to say though, I think the biggest hiccup in the whole program is we are all under that political correctness term. It's the term that we're, to me, to be opinionated, I can disagree with you. I can say something that, yeah, damn it, it may hurt your feelings. But why is that called political incorrectness? Political
yeah,
incorrectness.
You're absolutely right. All right, I got to go. Great to hear from you, Dominic. Please call back. It's a pleasure talking to you. But exactly like Dominic said, I mean, it's just, why? Why can't you just express an opinion and have somebody call you an idiot and move on? Whatever happened to that being our way of doing business? All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
We shall fight on the airwaves. We shall fight on Twitter and Facebook. We shall broadcast our program, whatever the cost may be. And if Sam Nation lasts for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour.
And we're back. Sam Rogowski here. Now imagine this. You and your special someone is going for a late night swim in the pool. You may or may not be wearing appropriate swim attire because you're alone. Or I should say you think you're alone. And then, as you are enjoying this pool, suddenly someone joins you. That's right. A third interloper, which just happens to be a 6-foot crocodile. Yes, this is real. And here is what happened as soon as that croc gets in the pool. The guy jumps out. That's right. Doesn't help his woman. Doesn't go in it. Nope. The guy just gets out of the pool and bolts. Now, the whole thing is caught on camera. That's right. Camera. Very pixelated. So I think they're swimwear. But never mind that. There's thrashing. And fortunately, the woman gets out of the pool unscathed. Now, had the croc gone in for a chomp, I'm thinking that this could be a Sweet James case. I'm just saying. I know Sweet James does dog bites. So I guess if you're chomped on by an alligator, especially if your bae leaves you in the pool to fend for yourself. Yeah, I hope he has boyfriend insurance. That's right. That is a bad move. Bro, that is a bad move. I think this is what they're talking about with Tinder dates gone wrong. Anyway. If you've been attacked by an alligator, call Sweet James. He's the lawyer we trust. And like I told you earlier, he is the best sponsor I could ask for. A man of character. You don't say that often about lawyers, do you? You don't hear that often about lawyers. So James is somebody who just deeply cares about his clients. I think that's the best way I can explain it. He'll fight for you, fight for what's right. He has a deep sense of purpose when it comes to these cases, and it's not just a number or a file for him. He really cares about you and will get you the best possible results. So, what do you do? If you've had something happen, been injured, call him. How do you do that? I'll tell you. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation here, Talk Radio 790 KABC, and I'll tell you this. So we've been talking about Halloween, because tonight is Halloween, and I can't wait to get out of here and go see my kids. I'd be right at the tail end of it. They're already going to be probably mouths covered in chocolate. But I think Halloween, right, when you go to Halloween parties, because we're talking about this political correctness thing and all how you can't wear a certain outfit or you can't wear a certain costume. Humor is how we deal with life's difficulties, isn't it? I mean, you know, I have a lot of friends who are Jewish and they've got great. These guys are hilarious. And I always say, why? When you deal with, as a culture, with tough things for a thousand years, You're gonna be funny. That's how we deal with things. When my family went through communism, it's how they dealt with things. Under the Nazis, you know, it was funny. And you know what? You couldn't make jokes in those totalitarian regimes. You weren't allowed to. Off with their heads, in many cases, literally. And so we can't become that society. Life is tough. Collectively, individually, okay? And we've got to be able to make light and make fun of it. And on Halloween, that's the one night a year that we can dress up and be fanciful. You know, if you want to dress up as a slut, do it. I mean, that's your one night a year. You can get away with it. And I don't want some thought police telling you or me what we can and can't do. I just don't like it. All right. Tomorrow, the Kings are here. Go Kings, go. And then I will be back on Wednesday. I can't wait. See you then. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California. Talk Radio 790 KABC.